The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. We are live at Gillette Stadium on a victory Monday, Andy Hart. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Patriots coming away with a 19-3 win over the Bears. We'll talk with Drake May today. We'll talk with Jonathan Jones today. In fact, we're talking to Drake May in about 10 minutes, so leave it right here. Don't touch the dial. You'll hear from Drake May here first. And we'll be playing it later on in the show, of course. But yes, a 2:15 start time for Drake May. He'll be calling us by phone, Jones, at 2:30. And we got a lot to get to as well. Producer Stiz and Big Mike back there in studio.
Yeah, that's right. How about a round of applause for the producers, guys, huh?
Bravo, oh, bravo.
Right?
Good job. Hey.
Thank you.
Clapping somewhere, too, for you. Well, where do we begin here? The Patriots come away with a 19-3 win over a Chicago Bears team that, I'll be honest with you, Andy, we had Brian tell us about this. I went on a Chicago Bears podcast this week and had the same thing. And I was just like, what are you guys all upset? What are you so worried about? You're playing the Patriots. Like, this isn't the type of game that you need to feel like you're going to lose. And if you do lose, you should feel like there's no level of panic that's high enough. Like, you shouldn't lose to this team. You're a better team than that. Your roster's better, all that stuff. And I believed it. And I thought the Bears fans really overreacted to that Hail Mary loss to Washington. And I thought that they were all just, you know, being hysterical. They were not. That is a team that is in distress. That is a team that's broken right now. And the Patriots took full advantage of that. The defense looked like vintage Belichick defenses, maybe like the best ones. It reminded me of that Sam Ehlinger game 2 years ago against the Colts here at Gillette, where they sacked him a million times, and Mac Jones had a bad game. He had just come back from the injury, but they ended up beating them. I think it was 26-3. Very similar sort of game right there. Caleb Williams looks like a mess. Drake May, I thought, had mixed feelings on his game. I thought that his off the field performance may have been better than his on the field. He wasn't bad, but I thought it was kind of a mediocre game. Loved that the run game was back, and really just enjoyed watching the defense get after a quarterback for the first time all year, because they'd been missing that. And for a team that was supposed to run and play defense, you finally saw that. And I think for the first time, Andy, this year, I started to see the vision of what this team was supposed to be, what Gerard Mayo was talking about in the beginning of the season, what Elliott Wolf was saying, Alex Van Pelt, all these guys. It hasn't really, you haven't seen many flashes of it. You haven't seen flashes of what this team could look like or should look like at its peak. But yesterday, I think, was as close as we're getting. And I liked what I saw. I didn't love it. I mean, they only scored 19 points. It wasn't the best thing I ever saw in my life. But I started to see the vision, and it looks a lot better than it used to. And I think, you know, regardless of the draft pick, and we'll get to all of that, right now you're looking at a team that's still among the bad teams in the league, but does kind of seem to be rounding into something right now. And I think it's a mostly positive direction.
Yeah, you weren't the mess of a team on the field at Soldier Field. And that's what I'll take away from this. I don't know where it goes from here, but I can say you had the better rookie quarterback. You had the better questionable defensive coach.
Yep.
You had the better questionable offensive coordinator.
Yep.
You had the better questionable offensive line, right? Like, all these things that we're not sure about and have had sort of big picture conversations, the Bears have the same issues, and it looks their issues are worse. And then maybe the biggest takeaway is energy, effort, and attitude. Like, the body language of the Bears as a team, sideline, field, quarterback, wide receivers, is horrific. It's the road I think we thought we were going down like a month ago-ish, and have pulled out of, and I think Drake May has been a part of that, some of the veteran receivers, Gerard Mayo putting the clamps on it. I don't know exactly how we fixed that, but you were not the mess of a football team that the Bears are. And I said it on the postgame show last night, Brian, earmuffs, if you don't want, I don't think they're going to win another game all year. I think the Bears
their schedule after this is ridiculous.
It's brutal. And
although the Vikings don't look too hot these days, but yeah.
Yeah, still, but they find a way to win a game.
They're better than the Bears. Yeah.
Right, you win an ugly game because you're a decent football team. You have more talent. And the Bears are a mess. And I laughed out loud late in the game where I think Moose, Darryl Johnston on Fox, said something like, oh, it was big to keep it to a two-score game there. And it's like, they haven't scored all day. They have a field goal.
They haven't scored a touchdown in how long?
Two scores is might as well be 100 scores to them. Their quarterback stinks. He's frustrated. The wide receivers are frustrated. Everybody in Chicago is frustrated. I don't know how long those coaches make it. They're certainly next on the hot seat line in terms of NFL guys not making it through the season. And that's good for the Patriots. Take advantage of it. It's okay to just take advantage of an opportunity that presents itself. Doesn't mean you're going to start stacking them together, and certainly doesn't mean, sorry, Coco, that you're a playoff team and that there's some path to 10 wins in the postseason or 9 wins in the postseason.
They're closer to that than the number one pick right now, though. So, you know, you got to say that.
Yeah, that'll change.
It probably will, but the NFL's in a weird place right now with all these two-win teams. Still.
Yeah, and that's how you went from 1-7, and I don't love that. I know I got into a little argument with my buddy John Lyons on the postgame show last night. You got to learn how to win. No, you need talent. If you have talent, you'll win. It's fine. But the reality is it was a feel-good day. Mm-hmm. Like, right, everybody, the defense, yes, they deserve to be applauded, maybe not by the gathered media, nor for fans and players, teammates, coaches to applaud them.
It was very Jeb Bush, you know?
Please
clap.
Awkward
clap.
As – it was a little bit like, let's
was
go the, Red Sox.
He did like the gator chop, too, yeah, which
it was
also
strange.
Strange.
And I applaud him. He's being a good leader doing
it. Do you applaud
it.
Him like this?
No, I do not. Okay. I applaud him normally, right. Maybe like a golf clap, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I applaud him for being a leader and trying to acknowledge this was all about the defense because it was.
Yeah.
It was freaking dominant. You held them to 69.
Nice.
Net passing yards. One third down conversion in 14 attempts. Some of the 9 sacks, including from guys named Del Pettis and Brendan Schooler. Like, Brendan Schooler, that's the thing that gets me, and I don't think it's getting enough. If Bill Belichick did that, we'd put up a statue to Bill Belichick.
Absolutely.
He's doing things that no one would ever think of, putting Brendan Schooler in the Longhorn package as a spy and taking down the number one pick.
I bet you Belichick saw that, and he's like, ooh, I'm not mentioning this on the magazine.
Absolutely.
I like that one. I can't talk about this. That was actually something
that
I
was
done.
Belichickian. We would have been bowing down in the Bill We Trust altar, and I feel like it's not maybe getting quite as much. Now, I wouldn't go to that well too many times. I think if you put Brendan Schooler on the –
No, but him being out there to spy on the quarterback, I thought was
a perfect job.
Smart.
Especially where they are depth-wise, Duggar, no Peppers, without some of your athletes at that level. And that's what he does. He stands in the middle of the field and he chases a guy with the ball. That's special teams, right?
Yeah.
Like, and find a good lane, don't let him get around you, leverage the things they carry over. So I actually thought that was a good job. But, you know, Farms and Roy and all these guys that we barely knew when the season started, that was a very good team defensive effort.
Yep, it certainly was, and it ends with a W for the Patriots, led by Drake May, who will be joining us here momentarily. First is going to tell you what's trending, and when we come back, we'll talk with the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May, here on WEEI Afternoon.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, we are live here from Gillette Stadium. Nice to have you with us today, and we're joined on the phone by Drake May. He's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake May, how are we doing today?
What's going on? Is it all right? Hanging in there.
Doing great. Now, congratulations on the win, first and foremost. I want to start about what happened earlier on in the week, though, as we heard about you being frustrated in practice, calling a team meeting. What wasn't going right in practice? Let's start there. What prompted the meeting in the first place? What did you see out on the practice field maybe that you didn't like?
I think just what we're putting out on the practice field, I don't think was a testament to the guys we have in that room and on the offense, you know, especially, I think it was more of an offensive side of things to control as the quarterback. And I was trying to get the guys together and focus up and kind of detail the little things and focus in on that. And I felt like they ended up helping us out on Sunday.
You mentioned last night when you talked about this that maybe you flubbed some words, but you think the general message got across. But were you a little nervous to do it? I mean, you are, you know, only started half a season here. You're 22 years old. Some of these guys you're looking at are men and been in the league for 6, 8, 10 years. Were you a little nervous to do it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, really, first time getting up there. You know, obviously, I've said some things to the guys in the huddle and obviously the offense during practice, but you're really in the meeting room. I wouldn't say I was, you know, really that nervous, but exactly like Fred said, really the first time, and I think Jacoby's did a great job during training camp of really doing it, and he still does it, you know, throughout the season of getting the offense, a real leader on the offense. So just trying to set my part, and I think the point got across, so that's the main thing.
Did you feel like it was well-received? Like when you finished, were you like, okay, that was good. That was a good first step for my leadership, and they bought into what I was saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, it wasn't more of that, more just, you know, really get the guys going, and I think it filtered over to practice and really filtered over to Sunday. So I guess that means the message got across. I think those guys respected it and look forward to hopefully get back to practice this week and hopefully get another win.
All right, so you get to Chicago. It's obviously a very windy day, tough conditions out there. You have another offensive line combination and a rejuvenated team now that you gave a big pep talk to. You get out there on the field, the first quarter starts, maybe not the way you wanted it to. How are you feeling after that first quarter?
Yeah, I think, you know, really that after that first drive, you know, kind of, yeah, like you said, the first quarter when you went out there, got in the red zone, ended up kicking for three, and then obviously my turnover didn't help. So really just, you know, I thought we could move the ball on these guys. I was proud of the guys up front for how they fought, and really I think the biggest thing was those 3 and 4 and 5 yard runs ended up leading, you know, helping us down the road. I think just kept on, you know, pounding the rock and kind of got back to running the football, which has helped a lot. And that win was something else. I think even at times in the game, the ball was just sitting there waiting for, you know, the center, you know, they would set it and the ball would just be rolling down the field. So it was definitely it was a good experience though. I think we practiced in the wind a lot up here in Boston, but obviously that's the windy city. So, you know, a little different, but I thought we still managed to, you know, have some big plays in the air and thought, you know, defense, how about that? And I thought they won us that football game.
You mentioned that interception. I think we can all agree that was pretty ugly. I don't know if you've gone back and watched it on film. I know you said you were trying to throw it away, didn't get it there. Just sort of talk us through what you saw, what came in reality, and what you learned from it.
Yeah, it was just a double move on the outside, and you know, it wasn't there. They were sitting on it, and the crosser with hoop was covered up. So you kind of, one of those things, you're looking downfield, and you kind of quick and set your feet knowing somebody's coming from behind to throw it. Try to throw it out of bounds and just kind of let it go a little farther, you know, throw it in the first row. So I think those things happened. Obviously, it wasn't a great play. So
Andy and I were arguing over what your best throw of the day was. I thought it was the booty throw. He thought it was the hooper throw. What do you think it was?
I don't know. I think it was two great catches. I think, you know, Hooper's catch was awesome. You know, big play from him. And then booty made a great catch across the middle. Glad we got to spike it. So I think had a chance to make probably my best throw was, I had a chance to make it on the scramble before the 2 minute, the booty. Underthrew it a little bit. Obviously, I wish I had that one back. So, up for grabs. I wish I definitely had some ones I wish I had back, though.
On the touchdown throw, was it good to get Jalen back incorporated into the offense? I know he didn't get a lot of looks in that game, but getting him in the end zone must have been a nice boost for him and for you.
No doubt. Anytime you get in the end zone, a confidence booster for, you know, a rookie, and felt good, and, you know, one of the first, you know, touchdowns between me and Jalen. Hopefully a lot more coming in the future, and I'm just happy for him and look forward to, you know, have him, get him keep going.
On the throw to Hooper, he said something postgame about he wasn't really open and you kind of threw him open with your throw. And I know a lot of analysts, even coaches, talk about there's college open versus NFL open and throwing guys open. Are you learning that? Are you seeing that? Is there a different level of, quote-unquote, being open in the NFL compared to what you're used to in the college game?
My mindset, you know, back there is, hey, one-on-one and, you know, just give my guy a chance. That's kind of what I always thought, you know, on the Hooper play, you know, his back is turned to me and, you know, Hooper's a kind of big hoop, is on a corner route and, you know, give him a chance, just give him a chance and kind of, you know, let it high, let him go up and get it. And then he made a nice grab. So I think what they say about NFL, college, and, between the, you know, open and not open. I think there's times where, you know, definitely tighter windows. But at the same time, you know, one-on-one to me, I feel like pretty much, you know, since I grew up, when, you know, it was open.
Drake, I don't know if you saw this, if you watched the game with the commentary or not, but on the Flea Flicker, the studio, the play-by-play and color commentators were very negative about it. Even though it picked up like 7 yards, they were like, oh, that's it? That's all you're getting? Was that the idea of that play? Was that supposed to be more of a bigger chunk play? Because the broadcast team seemed to think that that was not executed the way it was meant to be.
Yeah, I think you leave, you know, certain plays, you know, what we're trying to accomplish out of it. So, you know, just glad we picked up you know, a long developing play for 8 yards, but hey, we had a gain. I think you may have had thought Pop was maybe score it, you know, get all those linemen out, but same time, I think the defense kind of, one of those plays, once they see it, they kind of rally.
When we see you run, sometimes it looks like you are intent on running, picking up yards, getting out of bounds. Other times there was that one play late in the game where you stepped up, kind of flipped it to Hunter for a nice gain down the left sideline. What is your thought process when it starts to break down, you start to run? Are you running to throw? Do you decide quickly to run? Do you try to push off the run as long as possible? What's your mindset there?
Yeah, I think I think the first thing is kind of moving in the pocket to throw. I think that's the biggest thing as a quarterback, keeping my eyes downfield. And also my biggest thing is to be decisive. I think a lot of times you see guys that, you know, thinking, hey, should I move here? Or should I leave here? So I think the biggest thing is just being decisive, and that's what I try to be. And whether it's picking up three or four on a scramble, or like you said, you know, about to scramble, keep my eyes up and hitting Hunter in the late game for a big first down. So I think you know, my mindset is to be decisive back there.
There was some reporting before the game, or maybe during it, I can't exactly remember, Drake, that Kendrick Bourne wasn't going to get a lot of snaps. I don't think he got any in the game. This is a veteran receiver in that room, someone that I don't know what your relationship with him is like, but in terms of your development as a young quarterback, I guess, do you have any sort of say in who plays and who doesn't? Is that something that they come to you and ask you about, or how do you feel about losing a weapon like Bourne in the passing game?
Yeah, I think KB, you know, first of all, he's a great teammate and great leader on this team. You know, you're going to see KB more throughout you're definitely going to see him again throughout the rest of the season. So excited to, you know, have him out there. I think I think he had some nice catches against Tennessee and the Titans. So, you know, really as a rookie, I'm not really controlling who's out there. I'm more, you know, worried about, you know, doing my job. So that's kind of the gist of it.
I think you're aware we talk to Jonathan Jones as well every Monday, and in recent weeks he acknowledged he was pleasantly surprised that the morale of the team was staying high, even though there were some losses, and you were 2-7 before this week. Have you seen that same thing, that even though the record and the results haven't always been where guys want it to be, that sort of the energy, effort, and attitude of the team has stayed at a relatively high level?
Yeah, I think I had noticed that. I think that's a testament to the guys we have in that locker room and the camaraderie. I think these guys we're all big fans of each other. We enjoy, you know, coming to, you know, play football and playing on Sundays and work throughout the week. I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed. And especially for us young guys, I think we know what the real kind of, you may not see the outcome or the results, you know, right away, but, you know, it's coming down the road and guys are keeping, you know, positive vibes. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've kind of noticed, is especially these young guys, and I think the vets have done a great job of kind of, you know, reeling in the younger guys and letting us know, hey, these little things can, you know, could be the difference in the game. And I think we're seeing that more and more throughout the season and learning, and got a chance to hopefully, you know, win 3 out of 4 this week. And I think that's something that you can build on.
Listening to Gerard Mayo with the Greg Hill Morning Show on our station this morning, he mentioned something about being a young coach and that line between ex-player but also having reverence for a coach. He said he always revered every coach he ever played for. You're in an interesting situation. You come from Mack Brown, an older coach, national title, established, to Gerard Mayo, his first year, ex-player, trying to figure out who he is. And I'm just wondering what you see and maybe the comparisons between Mack Brown and Gerard Mayo, and what is your relationship with Gerard Mayo?
Yeah, I think the first thing you notice is just the biggest thing you look for in a player is a player's coach. And I think they both check off that box. You know, Coach Brown was, you know, definition of a player's coach. He, you know, the way he treated the players and the elderly, I wouldn't say grandpa, but like the guy, you know, always, you know, Coach Brown was, And then that finished the day. Coach Brown's getting up there, and, you know, he'll be the first one to tell you in age. And it's the way he was still able to, you know, relate to the players and you know, be a player's coach. And there's so much I learned from Coach Brown, and it was really the reason I went to North Carolina. But having Coach Mayo, you know, same thing. I think, you know, player's coach, he's done it. He's lived it. He's lived it through the Patriots, and he knows what it's like to, you know, do the early morning lifts and come back and run the hills after practice. I think that's the biggest thing that you can kind of respect, that he's done it and won Super Bowls and done it here in this, you know, same building. And now these players who have played with him, you know, at times, and now bringing back a lot of the coaches that he played with is a cool experience, and you can respect something like that and kind of grow a lot from that.
All right, quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This question comes to us from John up in Meredith, New Hampshire, who asks, Drake, did it feel better winning this week because you beat Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think it was just good to get, you know, win under my belt. I mean, you know, first full game getting a win. Obviously, anytime you're facing a rookie quarterback or a guy drafted in your class, you want to come out on top, and glad we did that. But like I said, and, you know, shout out to the defense. They played their butts off, and we did what it had to do to, you know, finish out the game on offense. So proud of the guys, and I look forward to getting after next week.
Were you surprised to see him struggle so much? I mean, he had a very rough day, as you no doubt saw. You've competed against him before at different levels. Was that sort of surprising to see him out there having that kind of trouble?
No, I think the biggest thing is just our defense. They made tough on him. You know, they're getting after him. They're switching up coverage. They play well, man. Our defense did a great job. And I wouldn't say, you know, surprised with, you know, facing our defense in training camp. So, you know, pulling for Caleb, and, you know, obviously you got to know him throughout, you know, high school and even college, and was in the same high school, you know, kind of class, so saw him a lot of different places. So, you know, root for him, but I think at the end of the day, just glad we won.
You ever been sacked 9 times in a game? Because that's what your defense did.
Yeah, 9 times. No, I know. I probably wouldn't feel too great, you know, today. So, you're glad right. Everyone's faced our defense.
Well, fingers crossed that doesn't happen to you ever, really, but certainly not this year. Drake May, great job. Thanks for joining us today. Good luck against the Rams this weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Sweet. Thank y'all. Go Pat.
All right. Thanks, Drake May, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We are going to be talking with Jonathan Jones here, I think, pretty soon. I don't know if he's on the line yet or not.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so we what should we do? Should we take a break, maybe?
I don't know. You're
host one. Let's keep on going.
Okay.
What do you say? Let's keep
Roll
on going.
Out.
Because I thought that May had some very interesting comments there, not just about the game, but I thought the Mayo stuff in there was interesting. I thought he had some good answers about his relationship with the team, the whole speech to the team and everything, his relationship with Gerard Mayo, these things that are evolving. I thought this week for him, you said last week was his best off-the-field week. I think it was this week.
Well,
I don't know if that's evolved for you or not, but
no,
I think
I agree.
For him,
and the fact that it's back-to-back weeks,
yeah,
I think that's huge. That's the evolution of a leader. And you know, John Lyon said something filling in for Fitzy on the postgame show last night about seems like Drake May's becoming the tone setter for this team. And when you look at great teams, generally the quarterback is the tone setter. I would also argue sometimes when you look at teams that are struggling, the quarterback is the tone setter in a negative way. And he mentioned it. Like, I don't think it's easy to necessarily stand up in front of the whole team as a young quarterback, tell Kendrick
Osborne. Made 3 starts.
Right, yeah, I made right, 3 right. starts, and I'm going to tell Austin Hooper, who's been around the league for a decade, bouncing from teams, Hunter Henry, Mike Onwenu, who's massive. Like, I'm just going to look at these guys and be like, listen, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. I think that's a big step in the evolution for him, but also the evolution of the team to look at him and accept that that's who he is for this team.
Yes, and you heard Drake May going on and on about the defense yesterday and in that interview just now, and a big piece of that defense was Jonathan Jones, who joins us right now, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan Jones, do we have you?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
There he is. Jonathan, I thought that game yesterday reminded me a lot of a big game that you had 2 years ago against the Colts. You had a pick 6 in that Sam Ellinger game. You remember that one? It was a similar-looking game. I think the score was pretty close, too. You guys sacked the quarterback a million times. How did it feel to sort of go out there, know that you in the front were kind of in sync in terms of coverage sacks, in terms of them getting to the QB, you guys making plays out there? It seemed like for the first time all year, everything really clicked for all 4 quarters.
It did. I think for the most part, we kind of hit the keys that we wanted to hit. You know, they did a good job of getting pressure. But not only that, just containing it. You know, there weren't too many times, maybe twice, that he even got outside the tackle box to even get outside of those guys. And so when you can do that up front, you know, the back end, it makes your job a lot easier.
Early in the game, you guys were put in some tough spots. There was a punt return. There was the turnover. And you guys kind of bowed up and didn't allow any points. How big is that when you get those opportunities early to kind of set a tone and not just do your jobs, but maybe go above and beyond what your normal job is?
Yeah, I mean, we always pride ourselves, you know, on defensive executing no matter where we get the ball. And that helps the offense out, you know, if we give up a big return or the turnover and just not giving up points, you know, not putting them in a situation where when they get the ball back, they feel like, you know, they have to go out and score a touchdown. So that's a part of our job as defense is just getting the ball back and eliminating points and not allowing their team to get up big on us.
You had one big tackle, and I believe it was the first quarter, maybe the beginning of the second, that pretty much saved a touchdown. Open field tackling, things like that. You guys have, at times this year, struggled with that and struggled with sort of finishing your hits. Is that something you think you've improved on as a unit over the course of these 10 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, Mayo, he called out the corners in the secondary, you know, after last week's game versus Tennessee. The defense as a whole was just tackling. Something I spoke on last week of getting back to the fundamentals, and tackling has been a big part of that. You know, on defense, they can catch the ball or make a run, but at the end of the day, if you're able to secure a tackle, you don't give up points. And so that was something we focused on last week and something to be big as we continue out the season.
So you say he called you guys out in the back end. I think we could say he called the team out with the soft comments in London. Is this team showing that they respond when he kind of pushes their buttons or challenges you guys?
I would assume so. I mean, just based off how the locker room has handled it, just how guys respond when there's adversity. You know, we've gone through adversity this year, and guys have handled it well. No one's come in, you know, with a sour face, with a sour attitude, you know, after, you know, a loss. So I'd definitely say guys have handled it the right way.
I know this is a weird question, seeing as where the season is right now and everything, but did yesterday feel like a get-right game to you guys?
I don't know about that. It just felt like a win we needed. And like I spoke to the team after, the next phase of this is stacking wins. You know, every win we've gotten, the two we've gotten before, we lose the next week. And so in this league, if you can stack wins, get some back-to-back wins and build off of it, I think then we can say we're heading in the right direction.
I'm glad you brought up the post game, because you've told us you're not really a big talker. That's not really your style. And you've taken over the mantle of the post game, aw yeah thing that Teddy Bruschi and others historically have done. You know it's being videotaped. You know it's going to be on social media within hours. Do you enjoy that? Do you get nervous? Do you prep a few notes? Do you ask Slater for a little advice? How's that go about?
No. I just speak from the heart. You know, I speak from the heart. And just what the guys need to hear. You know, like you said, speaking of guys who've been around here for a long time, those guys got the opportunity to sit back and watch what it meant to win, saw what it looked like to be a part of football in this league that was winning football. And I've had the opportunity as a young player in this league to experience that. And I feel it's my opportunity and my chance to tell those guys what it looks like and just to be a part of that and do my part.
Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, a lot of weapons on that Chicago offense. What was the general strategy about limiting those guys in the secondary, and what was sort of the strategy to try and cover them all?
We feel confident, you know, to being able to play those guys in man-to-man coverage to allow us to get some pressure up front. We feel confident. Touch of the plate. You know, there weren't a lot of explosive plays or any, you know, explosive plays for the receivers. So when you do that in this league and limit players like that, it's easy to get wins.
So I think a lot of us had pigeonholed Brendan Schooler as he's a special teamer, he's the next Matthew Slater, whatever. And then apparently there's this Longhorn package where he's out there, he's spying the number one pick quarterback, he's getting a sack. Were you dubious when you saw this game plan or when they started using Schooler in that role? What'd you think?
No, I tipped my hat to him. I said, hey, you have some ability, you know, and packages like this allow guys to show, you know, that they can contribute on defense. And, you know, hopefully he takes this and grows from it. You know, a lot of guys in the league end up getting, you know, pigeonholed into that, you know, just special teams guy. But if you can run around and tackle, after that you learn a couple of defensive formations. I don't know why you can't play defense in this league. But so he's, you know, taking that role well. He executed it in just the way we wanted him to, and so hopefully he can continue to build off of it.
Every week I know we ask you about Christian Gonzalez, but this week I want to ask you about your other compatriot there, Marcus Jones, who I thought had a great game yesterday along with all the rest of you guys. How is his progression this year after missing all last year with an injury, getting back into the secondary, also returning kicks? How have you seen his progression on defense evolve over the season?
Oh, man, he's consistent. You know, he comes in, he's just smart and tough. He's a smart football player. He always knows what to do and just comes out and competes. And he's a guy that I enjoy playing with. I have enjoyed playing with him, and he's just going to do nothing but continue to get better.
There's some teams where, I don't know, I feel like there's 11, 12, 13 guys. That's the core of the defense, the starters. Then there's backups. This team, especially yesterday, we saw a ton of bodies at all three levels. Farms and Roy up front. We mentioned Schooler, Del Pettis. There's guys coming from everywhere. Is that a unique situation where it feels like there's got to be 20 different guys that are involved in the game plan? And what's the camaraderie like because of that?
Oh, man, everybody buys in. I was once taught in this league, the more you can do. I don't know if you ever heard that saying.
Yep.
But the more you can do, every guy's buying in, pitching in, do what they can to help, you know. We don't have, you know, quote-unquote superstars at positions, and guys are doing their jobs and coming in, getting better. And this week it'll be the same thing. It's getting back to the drawing board on Wednesday and getting towards another victory.
I just realized we haven't talked to you since the trade deadline. I know your name was floating around there. Other guys' names are floating around. Ultimately, no one gets traded. Was that a tense trade deadline in your guys' locker room?
Not so much. I can only speak for myself. Not for myself. I take this, you know, this business in stride. You know, every day is a privilege to be here and to go to work, and I always take it that way. And I have them, you know, every day that I've been here. And so, you know, it's a tough position for a lot of guys. You know, I can understand, you know, not knowing your future, not knowing where you'll be. But just try to take it in stride and just let, you know, whatever happens and roll with the punches.
Turning the page to next week, you have the Rams, which is, you know, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. There's some pretty good weapons on that side of the ball. Sean McVay. What kind of challenge do they present? But also a unique opportunity. Will you watch Monday Night Football tonight and sort of get a quick jump start on the scouting process?
Yeah. It'll be key in watching it. But they've, you know, they have a veteran quarterback, good receivers, good core. You know, they love to run the ball. It's going to be a good test for us. Our goal is to come out and try to get a victory at home. And so we have to get to the drawing board this week and get to work.
All right, that's Jonathan Jones of the secondary here with the Patriots, who beat the Bears 19-3 and will be taking on the Rams this Sunday at Gillette. Jonathan, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
I think we lost him.
See ya.
That's two shaky phones in a row. Do you notice
that?
Yeah,
it's not great.
Two shaky phones in a row. We're on to you, Stacey. We know
so
what's going on.
Elon
here.
Musk.
Giving him the potato phones.
Can land a massive rocket backwards with these two big hands that grab it out of the air.
Right, yeah.
He's got a line of satellites that go across the world so you can get high-speed internet anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't get great phones to talk to a couple Patriots.
It's weird how that works. Anyway, good
Some
stuff
beach.
There. From Jones and, of course, from Drake May. A lot to digest. We'll get to that at 617-779-7937 if you want to talk about anything you just heard there. And when we return, I think the coaching staff, who we did not get to talk to, we talked to the players and we got their take on everything. The coaching staff deserves a lot of credit here, especially considering the bleep show that they were up against with the Chicago Bears. It could always be worse, folks. Always remember that. The grass is sometimes greener on your side. We'll get to that next. So that play didn't decide the game or anything, Hart, but it was one of those moments where I've been judging this coaching staff all year long by how they finish these halves, because usually it's a total mess, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's been a big part of it. We look at the end of these halves, we remember the Belichick years, and we say, what the bleep is this? These guys can't manage the clock, they can't do anything, they're calling weird plays, they can't do anything right. And they did everything right at the half this time. And listen, I mean, there were a couple of plays there where maybe they weren't the greatest calls. They burned their two timeouts to start the drive. But when May hit booty on what I thought was his best throw of the day, we can agree to disagree on that one. They were both good throws. I love that throw.
I love that we're debating he has multiple best throws of the day.
Who'd have thought?
Wow, we're back to actual NFL football, baby.
Football talk. Who'd have thought we'd be doing that in this room? Anyway, that and then booty handing the ball to the ref, which I saw people on Twitter going, really, crazy for. Like, he handed the ball to the ref. Like, is that no. is that really such a, oh, my God, what a genius move? Like, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yes.
In the two-minute drill? Like,
yes.
I don't know. Anyway, he hands it to him. They get the play. They spike it. Montez Sweat, as you heard, was offside, so they get 5 extra yards, and boom, field goal. Not that it decided the game or anything, but if we're going to, and I have been, hyper-focus on these end of halves, when they screw up, you got to give them props. That was basically perfect yesterday.
Absolutely. And it's certainly in comparison to what they had been doing, where even post-game, I feel like Mayo admitted a couple times it was regrettable, like, to have those back, AVP,
yeah.
bad plays. Wasn't that part of the two worst plays? Like, the whole thing, to have them execute like that. Now, this is where, what would they call me in the Twitch chat? Like, the romantic for May or whatever, and the
yes.
the honk for May. It's true. He's a part of that. That's a good throw. Like, I don't know that they make that throw with a different quarterback, and this isn't critical of other people. This is just sort of the way the offense is evolving. And I think Booty, it's not a coincidence when you start to make plays. He's not perfect.
Mm-mm.
I would like him to fight for the ball more. But Booty is making plays at the end of halves and the end of games. I think that's an evolving characteristic of his, of this offense, of his relationship with Drake May, that he trusts him and he goes to him in spots, that he's going to throw the ball up to him when he's one-on-one or situationally. I mean, hell, Brissett, same thing. So
yep.
both quarterbacks clearly have a lot of faith in Booty. His name is Booty.
Booty, yep. Rocking everywhere.
Not, what do they say?
Booty.
It's not a boutique. It's not a booty. It's Booty.
Why does this keep happening?
I think they're afraid to say it and be made fun of or something.
They are uncomfortable saying it, or they don't know what it is, and so they think that they should not say Booty because that's...
I think they're afraid to say Booty and become like some weird meme on social media.
100%.
I don't understand it. I would go the other way. I'm doing a crappy football game between two low-level NFL teams.
Right.
I'm going to have fun. I'm going to create some fun. I'm yelling booty call. I'm yelling whatever I can do in the midst of the game to have fun with it. I'm not going out of my way to... It's also disrespectful.
It's not his name.
The guy asks you to say his name a
right.
certain way, and you don't say it that way.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, I prefer Booty. It's like, right. no one cares what you prefer, Daryl Johnson.
Right.
Just say his name. Like, his name is Booty.
It's like I bitched when Uche changed to Uche, but I tried to say it.
It's his name.
Because if
be called what he
I want to respect the individual,
right.
call him that. It's Booty. But I think Booty's evolution as an
entity. Mama named him Clay. I'm calling him
right. His mama named him Booty. I'm going to call him Booty.
Right.
And he has evolved as a end of half, end of game playmaker. I think that's part of it. And it's good to see, again, that's evolution, that's reps, that's comfort. I love where all of that stuff is going. And you're right, it's against the Bears. Although the Bears' defense is pretty good.
Yeah, they got
the Bears'
players.
Defense doesn't give up 20 points, and they didn't give up 20 points
right.
to you. So that's where Drake May is right. The real game was won by dominating their offense and making sure that 19 points was enough to win the game.
Four points was enough to win that game.
That's
but yeah.
true. And even Sly, there were a number of his kicks, which – I'm going to give him credit for because they went in that he played the wind.
Yeah.
Because there were a few that kind of went,
yeah.
And if he had, you know, when you have a slice in golf, like I do this all the time, and then I start to play my slice and it doesn't slice and
mm-hmm.
it's just the worst hit ever. He played the wind, played the ball movement
yeah.
perfectly to go 4-for-4 on field goals after apparently having a kid, too. So he's got extra stress
yes.
on the
and
table.
And people were saying in warm-ups he was missing everything.
Well, because he was probably figuring out
yeah.
what the hell was going on with the
right.
wind. Because there was definitely wind. It was definitely a factor in the kicking game and a little bit in the passing game. And whether he got lucky or whether he figured it out in pregame warm-ups what the ball was doing, I give him credit for that. Because you take away 4 field goals, now it's a totally different game.
Yeah.
Now you might be in a dogfight where the Bears can steal it late if you miss a couple field goals.
Yeah. I think that DeMarcus Covington deserves some props. We haven't really mentioned his name yet.
Yep.
As the architect of the defense, I know Mayo's the defensive head coach, so he's going to get a lot of that shine, but Covington certainly deserves some as well. And those guys up front, I mean, listen, you're going up against, I think all 5 of those guys were not the starters, right? Because the one kid got injured, the guard got injured during the game, and I think the other 4 were all backups.
I don't speak sign language of Brian
so, Summer. Right?
One is a center.
Okay, started. So yeah, other than him, I mean, everybody was backups, and they had young tackles.
Listen, they were all backups on all sides of the ball in this game in a lot
true.
Of ways.
But at least when May got hit, his own teammates would come lift him back up. Caleb
yeah.
Williams, the Patriots, had to pick him up.
He's a dink.
I mean,
I think
man.
It's quite clear.
I don't think they like him. I think his teammates don't like
does
him.
Does anybody like him? He's
his mother likes him.
So are you sure?
She was cradling him gently.
I don't
after
presume.
That game.
Yeah, because you got to. Like, you're on national TV. You got to mm-hmm. be a real jerk to push your son away if he's crying on your
True.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
We said it during the break, and we can get into it afterwards. There is a subtle cockiness to Drake May. There is an overt cockiness to Caleb Williams. I think you have to be confident. You probably have to be cocky to be an NFL quarterback. But it can be off-putting if handled a certain way, especially that tweet that was making the rounds that they drafted a punter and he replied to him, "You're not going to punt much here."
Right.
Oh, really? Really? Is that true?
Because you're off throwing stinks. Interceptions every week.
Right.
That's right.
I'll let you hold on to the ball a little bit longer and make slower decisions back there and run around like a jackass. So he's very unlikable. He's been unlikable since his time at USC. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the root of their problems. You talk about body language. You talk about the receivers popping off, DJ Moore, other guys. I think some of that stems from the way the quarterback handles the situation.
I think some of that's there. I think the coaching is obviously a big problem right now. And I also think that everyone who's saying, oh, see, the Patriots clearly got the better guy. Caleb Williams has had some very good games this year.
Sure.
He's had 300-plus yards, 68% completion percentage. He's gone out there and played
studs
well.
Around him.
He does, sure, but he's performed, I guess, is the point. Like, he's not out there getting sacked 9 times every week and holding the ball too long every week and throwing picks every week. He's had some good games. Better games than Drake May's had so far, but Drake May has a lot less around him. So
you don't want to hear that I now firmly believe the Patriots got the best quarterback in the top three picks.
No, it's fine to think that if you want to, but it's just the idea that now Drake May's the best and Caleb Williams is clearly a bust after a couple bad games. I just think it's a little early to be saying that.
Well, the Caleb Williams angle of that is some people feared he was going to be a bust before he was even drafted.
Yep.
Like, the common thought was, physically, he's probably the most talented.
Yeah.
But the whole makeup, competitor, what he wants to be, there were the issues about the father and, like, kind of like being a ball family issue and that.
Wanting, like, ownership of the team or whatever.
Yes, all of that. And that tends to lead you down that road when you see that this is not going well over the last few weeks and he's not handling it well, maybe. And turmoil is only going to fuel those questions as to whether he's a bust. But I do firmly believe now, and I know the Jaden Daniels thing is, forget Caleb Williams. The Jaden Daniels, Drake May comp is where he gets dicey. But I still think for everything that Drake May has dealt with and the lack of talent around him, and there's just so many factors that lead me to believe when he has the horses and when he's in a better situation, what he has learned going through these tough times and the leadership he's shown and the ability – it's sky's the limit, baby,
hopefully,
as they say.
Let's see.
Sky's the limit. Join the club now, the Drake May Fan Club. We're the maniacs here at Gillette Stadium.
Time now for our weekly look at football's league leaders and who's circling the drain. It's presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Who's circling the drain, Andy?
Yeah, we just talked about him. Well, first of all, everybody in Chicago feels like they're circling the drain in general.
Sure seems like
from
it.
Fans who hate their team and are worried that their team is moving to the suburbs and they're not going to have a stadium, to coaches who could be fired at any time, to Caleb Williams, who a half a season into his career, people are already wondering if he's going to be a bust and a diva and a dink and that whole thing. Pretty much everybody wearing a Bears uniform there, going back to the glory days of Singletary and Peyton and all that, because the present isn't all that much fun.
No, it certainly is not. As for league leaders, you got to go with the Chiefs. I don't know. I don't know if this team's ever going to lose a game. They're like the Terminator. You can't kill them. You can't do anything. Even when they're dead and buried, here comes a bunch of special teams guys. Three different guys could have blocked that field goal. I've never seen that in my life. I've never seen an attempted field goal where one guy blocks it and two other guys, if the first guy missed it, would have blocked it behind them. That's unbelievable, and they're unbelievable, and the Broncos had a 14-point lead, and it just didn't matter. You knew it wasn't going to matter, and then they go out there and block that kick and win the game. Amazing. I mean, they're amazing this year.
Do you think they're going to go undefeated?
I kind of do, yeah. I kind of think they are.
See, I don't.
I don't know if they're going to go the whole, but like the regular season, I think they will.
The fine line they've been walking, it just feels like it's going to get. This was 1 second to go, a 34-yard field goal?
I think that was the chance.
Like,
that was the chance any other team's going to have now.
Maybe, because I do agree with the flip side.
You have to play them in Denver at the end of the season, and they may have something locked up by then, and they play their back. I have no idea. But, like, the rest of their schedule is not that tough. They got Buffalo, who's good, Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Browns, Texans, Steelers, Broncos. They can run the table, I think.
Speaking of teams that could
they
be
always
in trouble,
beat the Bills.
The Texans could be in trouble, too.
Yeah, Texans. That was a tough one.
That could be a broke, because they were already having two-hour team meetings, player only, before the game. You blow a 23-3 lead? What was it, 23-7?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And you blow that game when the other quarterback threw six interceptions, five interceptions? Like, and do you know Jared Goff is now undefeated in his career when he has five or more picks?
It's I did not know that.
It's like six or seven times, and he's won every game.
That,
talk about counterintuitive, whatever you want to call it.
The only thing worse than Drake May's interception was C.J. Stroud's floater in the end zone with Dell running wide open, and all he had to do was just throw a pass to him. Instead, he throws this medicine ball up there, and it's hanging there in the air. And it I've never seen a worse throw than that in my life, I don't
think.
What
about the C.D. Lamb crosser where he's looking into the sun? He's like, throw it any time. Oh, you already threw it? Where'd it go?
Well, can't see it. Good stadium design there, Jerry. Thanks a lot. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls. And did Drake May take a step? How good was his day, actually? And when it comes to his improvements on the field and off the field, what do you like more? We'll get to that with your phone calls right after this.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.